This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family. Get up, everybody, and sing.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning. Welcome to Childhood Matters. I'm your co-host, Beth Samuelson, founder and director of Student Organizational Services. And today, we're bringing you another episode of Your Teen Matters series that focuses on how to sleep and healthy eating, how sleep and healthy eating impact attention, memory, concentration, and emotional resilience.
Hi, Beth. I'm Nurse Rona.
Good morning, Rona.
And I'm the host of Childhood Matters and co-host of this series with Beth. And we're doing this to support parents and teachers as they try to guide and keep up with teens who are living in a world filled with complex demands, overstimulation, and a whole lot of stress. You know, and Beth, no matter how old a child is, parents should stay tuned today because I think a lot of this information will apply to kids of all ages. And those little ones like you have, Beth, will grow up to be teens pretty soon.
I know, all too soon. And you know, this subject is close to my heart because in my work with teens, I see a lot of stressed out kids that don't get enough sleep, and it creates more problems for them in school, and it creates problems at home with personal dynamics. So, and also with just kids that don't eat well because they're in a hurry. Life is pressured for kids now, and, you know, teenagers and also even younger kids. So I think having the opportunity to talk about this today as school is starting is so essential so the parents can really get a hold on this early in the game.
You know, getting enough sleep and eating well are really huge challenges for our teens, and research suggests that not having breakfast, for instance, can affect intellectual performance, make kids feel tired, restless, irritable. We've all seen how our mood and energy drops by mid-morning if we don't eat at least a small, healthy breakfast. And, you know, yet KidsData.org reports that over 45% of ninth grade girls admitted to not having breakfast on this particular day. And, you know, combining that with too little sleep is a real setup for a hard day at school.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, hearing that kids are supposed to have nine plus hours of sleep by the time they're teens, and many of them don't even get close to that or the calories they need. So we want to hear from you today out there. Call us at 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437 with your experience as a teacher or a parent or a student about eating and nutrition, sleep, and exercise, all of those things, and how they've affected you at school, or how you see they're affecting your kids. Joining us in the studio today, we have Dr. Allison Harvey, a professor of clinical psychology and director of the Golden Bear Sleep and Mood Research Clinic at the University of California, Berkeley. Her clinical training and PhD were completed in Sydney, Australia, and Dr. Harvey has published over 130 research articles and book chapters and has authored two books. How are you, Dr. Harvey?
Good, really good. Thanks for having me on, Beth and Rona. This is a great conversation to be having.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Also joining us by phone is Julie Mattel. She's a clinical dietitian and certified diabetes educator. She has her master's degree from University of California, Berkeley, and she completed her dietetic internship at the University of California at San Francisco. Julie's areas of special interest are pediatric nutrition and cystic fibrosis. She's taught as an instructor at San Francisco State University and works with children and adolescents at Lucile Packard Children's Hospital at Stanford, and she's served as a research coordinator for a multi-site National Institute of Health-funded research study, and she's joining us by phone. Good morning, Julie Mattel.
Good morning, Rona and Beth. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I think we should start with Allison.
Let's start with Allison. Yeah. Allison, you know, why don't we just address the sleep issue straight up here? What has been your experience doing your sleep research as it pertains to teens and mood disorders, and sort of what are you seeing in your study?
We're seeing a lot of sleep deprivation. The Sleep in America poll by the National Sleep Foundation, the data are terrifying. We know that among 6th to 12th graders, about 1 in 5 teens aren't getting the optimal amount of sleep, which we think is about 9 hours for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of kids, 1 in 5 not getting the optimal amount of sleep. And we'll get into it in the next hour. Sleep is so important for tons of things. But we're particularly interested in sleep as important, critical for mood. And so we've become really interested in sleep in depression. And we know that depression is really a worrisome problem in teenagers. About 20% of our teenagers will have an episode of depression by the age of 18 years of age.
That's
20%.
Huge. Yes.
And so once someone has had an episode of depression, it's more likely that they're going to have another one. So we really want to get depression treated early. Mm. And so one of the novel possibilities, given that it looks like, and again, we'll get into it in the next hour, that sleep feeds into the development and the sustaining of psychiatric disorders. And then psychiatric disorders can make it also difficult to sleep, that chicken and egg going backward and forward, feeding into each other. The great possibility is that if we treat both the depression and the sleep, we might really be able to make inroads into this worrisome problem.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it ironic, too, that the very time that the kids really need more sleep, teenagers tend to have completely different biorhythms than adults do, different than they had when they were children. They're night owls. They don't want to go to bed early, and yet they're on this crazy adult schedule where they have to be at school by 8 in the morning and awake sometimes by 6.
Oh, it's really terrifying. And you're right. Teens do need more sleep. There's so much body and brain development going on. They're going through puberty and their bodies and brains are just developing at such a high rate. We really need to be getting them more sleep. Sleep is critical for all of that development. Yet, you're also right, there's some different things happening with puberty that make it harder for teens to get the sleep they need. You referred to this owl-like tendency, mm-hmm. Where they have a natural delay in their biology to want to go to sleep later. And then on top of all of that, parents have less control over right. the times that
yes.
the teenagers go to bed.
Well, and also, you know, I it's very different when my older kids were teens compared to kids now with all of the media and texting and computers.
Yeah.
You can't even know whether your child has their cell phone or not that they're texting. Yeah. In bed with them. They're inundated. So I think we have to include that in the mix of what we're
That's
talking about.
That's such an important issue, the awareness. There's an awareness gap between parents knowing how much their
right.
teens sleep and how much teens actually sleep. And that's true for depression too. There's an awareness gap. Sometimes teens can be much sadder and struggling much more with their moods than parents
you know about.
They let it, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, let's have Julie join us too. Julie Mattel, in your extensive work, what are you seeing about the way our teens are eating and the consequences as a result to their overall health and also academic stress? You know, we decided on this show to focus on sleeping and eating. They seem to be two core health issues when we're looking at teens, Julie.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a time when kids are gaining more independence. They're not as reliant on their families or their parents for meals. And they may not always make the best dietary choices. For instance, we see teens skipping breakfast. In one study, greater than 30% of adolescents that were surveyed were breakfast skippers. And I think also another challenge is that our kids are using more caffeine. You know, even in my neighborhood, I see kids walking across the street with those jumbo lattes in their hands. And both of these things, breakfast skipping and increased use of caffeine, can impact sleep and daytime performance in teens. And finally, you know, families are also busy. They have busy lifestyles, and I think the family meal has declined, and that can have
yes.
its own consequences in terms of choices that teens make for improving their diet.
And more kids are eating on the fly and eating prepared processed foods because they're quick, because, you know, they got working parents that don't have time to prepare meals. And so there's this kind of on-the-go feeling, and kids aren't always getting the calories that they need and the sleep that they need. And the combination is just really devastating to school performance and personal relationships, I think, in general. We really want to hear from you this morning, and we've actually got a call on right now, Susie from San Ramon, who'd like to talk a bit about sleep and about eating. Susie, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. They're fantastic topics.
Hi, Susie.
Hi. Good to hear you.
Good to hear from you.
Yes. I would like to mention something about eating, but I really would be interested in sharing about sleep. I will just say that I have always made sure my son eats breakfast. I tell him it's part of my job as a mom to make sure he has that, to be able to go to school and learn. And so that's something we have always done. And then I just am really careful to try not to get into any power struggles so that he doesn't have any motivation to rebel regarding eating. And then I just matter-of-factly explain the correlation between negative consequences he's having if he's having stomach trouble and the choices he's making, and it really motivates him to change. I just notice how right away he starts eating healthier foods. And then the final thing about eating is that I find that if I just set out healthy choices, cut up cucumbers, bell peppers, carrots, green beans, whatever it is, he'll just eat them. If I don't even say a word, I just leave them on the table.
Good strategy there. Right, Julie? That's a good one, huh?
Yeah, so then the topic of sleep, I'm really, really interested in. After reading a book called Nurture Shock by Pope Bronson, there's a whole chapter in that book. It's a fascinating chapter called The Lost Hour, and it does detail all the different studies regarding sleep and teens, and it focuses on how much the loss of sleep is impacting their brain development, cognitive function, their ability to learn, and then their circadian rhythm, making it so difficult because of the melatonin that's being come out 90 minutes later for teens. It makes it harder for them to fall asleep, and then they're having trouble in the morning because of the melatonin shift as well. So I've spoken to my son's headmaster. He's very open to the ideas, and he actually lent me his book. And so he's looking at what we can do at the school. And in the meantime, we just make sure our son is allowed. We let him sleep in as late as he can, right until the last minute before school.
Yeah.
We actually help make his breakfast so that he can sleep until the last minute. We don't have him, have his cell phone in his room or anything. So he's not even interested in texting before bed. But I think the biggest concern I have is what we can do as parents, aside from, the schools shifting their time. His school already starts as pretty late. And just what we can do to help him get to sleep at night when we know that teens, because of their circadian rhythm, are going to have a challenge. They can just, whether he gets in bed, he'll just lay awake staring at the ceiling as it's.
Yeah, that's a typical problem with the kids. If their parents say go to bed earlier, and the kids, because of that night owl phenomena we were talking about, really they have trouble winding down. And if they've been on technology before they've gone to bed, they've been on their cell phone, they've been texting, they've been on Facebook, it's even harder to kind of relax. By the way, if you want to join our conversation, please call 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-5437. With your questions and how you deal with your teen. Allison, do you have something to say to Susie about how she can help her son and other parents who've got similar issues?
Well, Susie, it's so exciting that you've started that conversation with the headmaster at your local school. School start times are a national problem, and we know from some states that have changed their start time till later,
right.
Changing it from 7:15 to 8:30. It makes a huge difference for our teenagers. So thank you for mentioning that. That's a huge issue. The other thing you mentioned that I just love is not getting in a power struggle. That just makes teens more anxious or more angry and more irritable. And that's not a situation that teens can go to sleep in. And so the approach of pausing and just listening and loving and being compassionate about how hard it is to be a teenager, how hard it is sometimes to get to sleep at night, but really encouraging that last hour or so of the night to be such a positive time, positive characterized by good interactions, careful, compassionate, loving interactions, as well as what we call an electronic curfew, which we ask teens to declare for themselves. Again, not wanting to get parents into a power struggle with their teens, but declaring for themselves what's going to work, and maybe negotiating that with their friends to make it a little easier as well. Because part of the Facebook thing is, of course, connection. Humans love connection, and teenagers are no exception. They love being in contact with their friends. So I think the electronic curfew and bringing on a wind down period that is characterized light is very important too. That's one of the things about bright light screens on computers. It's bright light. Mm-hmm. And the circadian rhythm is incredibly sensitive to light. We want to darken the lights in the nighttime. Melatonin is highly, highly sensitive to light. It will come on in darkness. So sometimes teens probably need to move into darker circumstances, not in front of television, certainly not close up to them, not in front of computer screens. There are a couple of the things.
Yeah, and I think music sometimes. I know when my teens had trouble going to sleep, sometimes they would also have music on. But I agree with you, Susie, the idea of talking to the school is key, because Beth and other people see that the lack of sleep has a great impact on learning, and I think the fact that you're in that conversation. I just want to ask Julie to weigh in here, too. Yeah. Julie, as we're speaking about this, I wonder, you know, as a nutritionist, too, whether you've seen any connection with having enough protein or a healthy dinner as it relates to how the rest of the evening goes. Oh, do we have Julie there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Have you seen any connection, Julie, with how a teen is eating, how it relates to even sleep?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that, as I mentioned before, caffeine consumption can have a huge impact on teens' ability to fall asleep.
Even if they have it early in the day sometimes.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was one interesting study that looked at teenagers who reported having difficulty falling asleep and who fell asleep during the day. And what they found was that the teens that fell asleep during the day during school actually had the higher caffeine consumption and also participated in more multitasking media.
And we know how successful that is not, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So what you're saying is that that it's not even going to keep them awake.
Right. No, class. It can actually have a counterproductive effect by keeping them up at night and then then they would have difficulty in the daytime staying awake and functional. And so I think it's important to just realize that some of the beverages that our teens are consuming are very high in caffeine.
And sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Red Bulls and the Monster drinks can contain, up to 160 milligrams of caffeine in a 16-ounce container. So that's something to really keep in mind, that we want to encourage our teens to make better beverage choices.
And Julie, can you speak to an example of what parents can do without imposing themselves on their kids and their dietary desires, what they can do to help suggest alternatives for their kids in terms of better drink choices, for example?
I think as parents, our job is really to stay, to be the positive role model. And so in our home, parents are still responsible for providing the food inventory. So what you keep in your home is still a parental responsibility. And also, parents can set good examples themselves in terms of their own dietary habits.
Yes. And take the soda out of the house, for instance.
Take the soda
right
out of the house. And we don't always have control as to what our teens do outside of the home, but I think if you've set a foundation in your own home to have healthy food choices available, I think that really plays strong impact on our kids' choices.
Having some good herbal tea at night available so that you're both drinking chamomile. You know, Susie, before we go to the break, I just want to go back to you for a second. We're about to go to a break. It sounds to me like you and your son have a relationship, and I know from previous calls that you had, where you can talk about this stuff with him also. And so it sounds like you're in pretty good shape here.
I feel grateful for that. And I just wanted to point out a comment in this book that relates to, because it combines both topics of sleep and how it affects eating, that it said that the stereotypical characteristics of teens that we've all, associated with them, moodiness, impulsiveness, binge eating, depression, all that stuff, really could just be due to a lack of sleep. And that really hit me when I heard that. So
very good.
Such important topic. So thank you so much.
Well,
and
Susie,
I all the ideas.
I'm going to send you a couple of passes for the Exploratorium. You know, it's such a great place, and I just think that parents and teens need to keep spending time together, because that's another way to set examples and another way to talk, while you're driving in the car or whatever. So we have some passes for the Exploratorium in San Francisco. So enjoy that with your son.
Thank you very much for a great show.
Thank you, Susie, for calling in.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about teens and how they're impacted by poor sleeping and eating habits. And in a moment, we're going to take your call.
Join the dialogue.
Share your thoughts. Add your feedback.
All Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Brought to you in part by First Five Santa Clara County.
Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Explore the Palo Alto Festival of the Arts. There will be live music, beautiful art, and a children's area. Today, August 29, from 10 to 6. For more information, call 650-324-3121. That's 650-324-3121. Check out the Walnut Creek Family Fest. There will be fun activities, music, and more. Today, August 29, from 10 to 6. For more information, call 925-408-4014. That's 925-408-4014. Savor delicious food in Oakland at the Eat Real Fest in Jack London Square. Today, August 29, from 10 to 9. For more information, call 510-336-6042. That's 510-336-6042. Visit Monterey for the Labor of Love's Celebrate Birth event. There will be lots of giveaways and helpful resources. Thursday, September 2, from 4:30 to 7:30. For more information, call 831-796-2875. That's 831-796-2875. Stroll the streets of San Rafael at the Downtown Farmers Market Festival. Fresh produce, live music, and children's activities. Thursday, September 2 from 6 to 9. For more information, call 415-492-8007. That's 415-492-8007. Join Nurse Rona and engage with over 100 San Francisco preschools and child-related services at Preschool Preview Night. Mark your calendars for Thursday, October 14 from 5:30 to 8. Call now to register, 415-359-2454. That's 415-359-2454. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
Children's brains develop based on early experiences. The more positive interactions children have, the healthier their development. Talking and communicating with children not only shows love, but also encourages the development of speech patterns and social skills. Here are some tips when talking with young children. Talk to babies early and often. This promotes bonding and lays the foundation for language development. Sing to and with your children. Use a broad vocabulary to expose children to many different words. Engage children in conversation by asking open-ended questions. And read aloud or share stories with your children and ask them questions about what they learned. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting first5kids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Have a man at my house. He's so big.
Good morning again. I'm Beth Samuelson, your co-host this morning for Your Teen Matters, our program for parents of middle school and high school students. I'm also the director of Student Organizational Services, known as SOS. Rona is with me here in the studio.
Yes,
Rona.
I'm co-hosting with Beth, and I'm the host of Childhood Matters. I'm a temperament specialist and proud mother of four adult children. And when I think back to how often they didn't get 8 hours sleep a night, I'm amazed that they did as well as they did. And I also want to say, you know, we'd like to hear from you this morning also about challenges that you face depending on where you live and the situation at home. It might not be ideal. It might be that your teen is sharing a room with, you know, his three-year-old brother and has trouble sleeping, or that you can't find the food you need because there is no local grocery store. So again, we'd love to hear from you this morning, 1-877-372-KIDS. Joining us is Dr. Allison Harvey. She's a professor of clinical psychology and director of the Golden Bear Sleep and Mood Research Clinic at the University of California, Berkeley. And Julie Mattel is with us, a clinical dietitian and certified diabetes educator.
And we're really talking about teen health and teen and the impact on performance at school and on personal relationships that all these things have, sleep and nutrition, exercise or lack of it on kids. And we've got on the line here Carol. And Carol, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, Carol. You have a son who you'd like to talk to us about.
I do. He's
Please.
Reverted back to his infant eating schedule. It's every 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
How old is he?
He's 14.
He's a 14-year-old. So tell us more about that.
He'll eat dinner and an hour go in his room and an hour later come out, Mom, what do we got to eat? And it's just the volume. He's not bulking up, but he's eating constantly.
Yeah, I think that age, this is a young man who's in puberty who's probably needs a lot of calories anyway at this point. I mean, that's a good question for Julie. Julie, how many calories does the average 14-year-old boy need per day?
8,000?
8,000? No. Seriously, is Julie there? Hi,
Hello.
Julie.
Hi.
Yeah. Hi. Sorry about that. What's the caloric intake requirements for a teen boy at this age?
Could range from 2,000 calories to 3,200 calories a day or even more for teen athletes, so quite high.
So the fact that he can put away four hamburgers in about 4 hours is not unusual?
Not at all. Not at all. And so it's just, I think, important, as Carol mentioned, you know, if he's constantly hungry, just to have around the house some healthy, nutritious items for him to have when he needs them for his hunger.
So she shouldn't be concerned about it, that he's constantly eating, basically.
No, I wouldn't say. I would say not. And always can refer to her pediatrician, Carol, to find out if your son's growing and gaining weight appropriately.
And my question too, Carol, is you know, I remember my brother too when he used to come visit us. You know, the bananas would disappear, and you know, lots of milk would disappear quickly. Is he eating relatively healthy stuff, Carol?
Where we live, there's a number of farmers markets, and we go to the San Francisco Farmer Market, and I try not to buy from traditional stores because I can't, you know, everything's full of additives and preservatives, so. We try to buy lots of fruits and vegetables, and I just, you know, we don't, if we buy junk, it's when we go out. We don't always buy, you know, if we're going to have soda or dessert, we buy it when we're out in a restaurant.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
We have a funny thing happening here. We have a phone line cutting you off here.
Are you still with us?
Yes. If you'd like to make a call.
Okay. Sorry about that.
So, Carol, you are trying. It sounds like you're the kind of mom who's really trying to make sure he's eating well. And I think this is so normal. I was just curious to know, is he sleeping?
He sleeps 10 to 12 hours a night.
Wow.
Luckily, we homeschool right now, so he'll go to bed at 10 o'clock and he'll wake, you know, he doesn't have a time he needs to get up, so he'll wake up, you know, 9:30, 10 in the morning, eat, you know, like a horse, and then go about his day. So, and actually what the other speakers were saying about sleep, I can see it in my own house, how children, I can't imagine them functioning on 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep and having to you know, deal with life. It's just I see how
yes.
they naturally want to sleep, you know, like infants or, you know, it's 10,
yeah.
12 hours.
Well, and, you know, I think it's great that your son's able to sleep in the morning, and that's a pretty unusual circumstance. And just want to make sure he's also getting enough exercise and physical activity, too. You know, Carol, thank you so much for calling in. We'd like to give you a pass guest voucher to the Tech on Market Street in San Jose, which is a tech museum, Museum of Innovation, and you and your son, your homeschooled son, might like to go and visit there.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
So we'll send that to you.
Great. And thanks so much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
And we're back with our show this morning for Childhood Matters, Your Teen Matters, Navigating the Middle School and High School Years. And we're talking to families about their teens' eating habits, sleep habits, and exercise habits, and its impact on school performance and relationships. We have on the line Cenote from Oakland. Are you on the line?
Good morning.
Hello. From Oakland.
Hi.
Have we still got her there?
It looks no. like okay. she's not there.
Okay. Well, we lost our caller there. But in the meantime, so we're really needing to listen to some kids now and hear what they say about their own habits. So let's get a feel for that.
I'm Associate Producer Felsha Zuschlag speaking with teens in downtown Oakland about their sleep and eating habits. What type of foods do you eat on average, and how much are you sleeping a night?
Well, roughly, I'm sleeping about 7 to 8 hours a night. And eating, I try to eat healthy because I'm an athlete.
It really depends. Some nights I sleep like maybe 4 hours just because of homework and stuff. Recently, I got braces, so sometimes I eat like one meal a day, sometimes two meals a day. It's not that much, maybe like a bowl of rice or something.
Usually, I sleep probably 9 to 10 hours maybe on a good day.
I sleep like 7 hours a day. And I eat a lot of fruits, rice, and other Asian food.
This summer, I've been sleeping for like 4 hours a day. And then, like, my mom's a nurse, so I usually eat really healthy.
And what interferes with the amount that you sleep?
I feel it's the computer and my cell phone texting. My phone's always on all the time, so I'm getting always texts.
It's just procrastination and staying on computer.
Usually, it's the computer or schoolwork we have.
Too many distractions, probably. Computers, you know, phones, TV. Mostly those stuff.
And are there any meals that you guys skip?
Sometimes I skip lunch because school lunch is not as good as I want it to be.
If I skip lunch or anything, it's just really because I don't feel like eating.
I skip breakfast because I wake up too late. There's no time for it.
Sometimes I skip breakfast, frankly, because I don't have enough time in the morning. And like sometimes dinner because maybe I get home too late or just don't feel like making it.
Do you ever notice a connection between how much you're eating and sleeping and your performance in school?
If I don't get enough sleep, I'm always tired in class, and I'm trying to get back my sleep, and I can't, and I'm missing class. And then if I don't eat lunch, it affects me, like, during the day, rest of the day.
A lot of times I notice that regardless of what meal you skip, you're going to have less energy than you usually do, and it just makes you, like, feel dead, and you just don't want to talk or anything.
Well, I think breakfast really helps because it really wakes me up. I think the sleeping thing really affects my school. Around fifth period, I just want to sleep. And sometimes I end up skipping.
If I don't eat breakfast in the morning, sometimes before lunch in my class, I get really hungry, I can't really pay attention in class, so then it really affects me in that way.
And do y'all have any other thoughts to share on sleep and eating habits of teens?
Make better choices.
Eat breakfast every day.
Manage your time well, and you'll get enough rest.
Eat healthy fruits and veggies.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
That's well, great, Felsha. Thank you.
A lot of material there that Felsha got from talking to those kids. Julie, what did you hear from the kids that struck you?
Well, I actually was pleasantly surprised. I heard a lot about fruits and vegetables, which I
that was interesting. Yeah,
to hear about that. We're getting the message out. I did also, though, hear that kids are still sort of skipping breakfast and skipping lunch. And I think, you know, for parents to sort of help their kids realize the importance of a good breakfast and a good lunch, they may want to focus on things that the teens can relate to. you know, saying that, you know, how about we work on having a good lunch that may help you with your performance, especially these kids that are athletes, that they're, yes, you know, going to practices after school and may not have a lot of time for a healthy after-school snack. Parents may want to focus on how eating a good lunch can help with their kids' performance for after-school activities. That's one thing that I thought of when I was listening to that piece.
And, you know, my husband used to make my kids lunch, even in high school. He had this way of giving to them by making them really nice sandwiches. And I think that, you know, a lot of parents don't do that, and kids make their own lunches. But I think there's a way parents can be involved with breakfast and lunch that actually is a sign of love and a sign of caring, and you do it together or you go shopping together. I think we have to, even though we have high school students, we have to take a more active role.
And I think it's difficult because you've got those kids, the night owls on the schedules. They're not hungry in the morning. I'm a night owl, and I'm way beyond being a teenager. And I have a hard time with breakfast in the morning. It's not my favorite meal. And the difference is that I don't have to go to school and listen to, you know, six different teachers talk about all this complex information, remember it, and take a test on it. Right. So not eating, of course, Julie, I'm sure you can comment on this, affects your attention, your concentration, and your focus, and your memory. So I think all those things have to be addressed. And kids also, I think, need to be involved in making their own food choices and shopping more. So we've got somebody online.
Okay.
And Wendy from Belmont. Wendy, are you there?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Wendy. And you've got an organic, is it an organic food company?
Yeah. Actually, it's a side job. I'm a single mom.
With three teens, yes.
Full-time job, but I was so frustrated about not having really clean, healthy food available that could be a good grab-and-go that I actually started a whole-grain food company, very small, only in a few little stores, but it's my important way of giving back, and it's really about the importance of whole grains and unprocessed, fresh, organic whole grains. We talk a lot about there not being healthy, good food available, and if you think about it, whole grains are probably one of the cheapest, healthiest foods that we could have. So my focus is really how can we make it a grab-and-go that's a really good choice for a change. And my first product is just a porridge. It's a simple porridge that you could make yourself at home. It's just most people don't have an hour, especially before school. And it's all about having no sugar, no salt, and just focusing on the super healthy stuff.
That sounds great. Do you have a website or something for people to take a look at what you're doing?
Yeah, I do. It's called ourdailygrain.com.
And with three teens, do you find that leading them to this kind of diet is difficult? How do you do it?
You know, I think it really comes down to what happens that second you're standing in front of the refrigerator with the doors open, and you've got that impulse decision. And in my kitchen, of course, there's always a half a dozen of little individual porridges there, and we always have fresh fruit. So I'm happy to report that my teenager who was playing football would come home from school, grab a container of the fresh porridge, microwave it for 90 seconds, and then put a huge scoop of almond butter in, cut up a banana, and then head off.
So health, that's really good. That's impressive, actually. I thank you so much for calling. And
you can inspire us all.
You can inspire us.
For sure. And we may have some extra tickets for the Exploratorium. If we have some more, would you like that for you and your teens?
Love it.
Well, thank you.
Definitely. The Tactile Museum is fabulous.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you,
Wendy. Keep listening. I really appreciate your call. Bye.
And good luck with your food company.
Thanks.
You know, I'm going to go back for a minute to you, Allison. When we were listening to the youth talk a few minutes ago, I was wondering if you could say a little something about what else we can teach our kids, our teens, about sleep so that we're engaging them in this understanding.
Absolutely. The wake up is such a critical time. It's critical in a couple of ways. You've got to wake up early enough to have time to have breakfast. We you know, often see situations where parents have been trying to wake their teen up in the morning, three attempts to wake them up, still not up. Then there's a tornado dressing situation, quickly in the car, lots of guilt, anxiety, conflict, and then a donut and vitamin water for breakfast.
Yes.
So that's what a very common vicious cycle is in the morning. And so I think working with the teen to have a happier wake-up period, we call it a brisk wake-up. And the first part of that is recognizing that waking up isn't easy for any of us. There's a natural period of transitioning between sleep and wake. It's not like a sleep switch. It's a dimmer switch. It's true for all of us, but particularly for teens. The technical term is sleep inertia. We just feel sleepy. We feel like we want to go back to sleep. So to recognize that, normalize that, it's not necessarily that the teen needs more sleep. It is just a natural transitional phase that if you get up, you get a shower, get bright light at that time of the morning, mm-hmm. get some social interaction.
Yes.
You'll wake up and the teen will wake up. And there's smart things like there's a alarm clock that you have to solve a puzzle before it will
cool.
go off. Or we'll get teens with their music
that's cool.
as well.
These are great ideas. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back with more from Your Teen Matters this morning. Stay with us.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Cavities affect more children than any other chronic disease. Baby teeth are especially important to children's development. These teeth help chew food, enable children to speak clearly, and hold space so permanent teeth can grow straight. Starting good dental habits when children are young protects their smiles and helps keep them healthy for a lifetime. Here's what you can do at home. Before your baby has teeth, wipe the gums gently with a clean, wet cloth after each feeding. Don't put your baby to bed or a nap with a bottle or sippy cup. When your baby's first tooth appears, start brushing the teeth with fluoride toothpaste in the morning and before bedtime. To avoid spreading the germs that can cause cavities, don't put anything in a child's mouth that's been in your mouth. Don't share spoons, cups, or toothbrushes. It is recommended that children have their first dentist appointment around 1 year of age, even if your child doesn't have many teeth. For more oral health tips, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
Hello, my name is Robbie, father of two and devoted listener of Childhood Matters. In this economy, parents need help more than ever, and Childhood Matters needs your help. With your support, they can stay on the air. Join me in helping Childhood Matters, a nonprofit organization who needs your financial support. Any donation will help Nurse Rona help parents. Go to childhoodmatters.org or call them at 877-372-KIDS to make a donation. Childhood Matters has helped me be the best father I can be. Please help.
Did you know that a recent parent survey showed that nearly 20% of Bay Area parents are concerned that their preteen may be depressed? At KidsData.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. KidsData.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit KidsData.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
One of the hardest things a parent faces is how to set clear limits with love. Here are some tips to keep in mind. Have clear rules and expectations. Have reasonable consequences for misbehavior and acknowledge respectful behavior. And try to understand why your child is acting out. Is it stress or anxiety? For more information and tips on how to discipline your child, visit www.childhoodmatters.org. And remember that world peace begins at home. This message is brought to you by the David B. Gold Foundation.
Physical activity supports good health whether you're 7 years old or 70 years old. So take Grandma or Grandpa's hand and head outside for a walk. The Health Trust is committed to making sure people, both young and old, can lead long and healthy lives. Visit www.healthtrust.org to learn more about our Healthy Aging Initiative and how you can help make your community healthier.
Let's go to the world, yeah.
continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Good morning. I'm Beth Samuelson, co-hosting with Rona this morning for Your Teen Matters. Our show today is about teen sleep, nutrition, and exercise and health, general health. And we've got on the line Sino T from Oakland.
Well, you know, before we take her, let me just say who's with us.
Okay.
Yeah, we have Dr. Allison Harvey with us. She's a professor of clinical psychology and director of the Golden Bear Sleep and Mood Research Clinic at the University of California, Berkeley. And Julie Mattel, she's a clinical dietitian and certified diabetes educator. And I'm Nurse Rona. I think we should take more calls.
Hello. Hi, is this Sino T?
Yes.
Hi, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us what you'd like to share about, sleep and the difficulties that your kids have. Is it you have one teen or a couple?
I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're like older teens. My son's 18 and my daughter's 21.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to college. And there are issues because we stay in a certain area. In Oakland.
Yes.
And I noticed that there's a tendency that these kids can mean mug each other. Just the wrong look can change their sleep habits just that instantly because they're worried about what's going to happen to them the next day.
Yeah.
So
something that's small and simple could turn and change their lives forever.
Yes. So
what do you do about those issues? I mean, your kids act like, well, I'm not going to run my mom, dad, because I'm not a punk. So they're going to hide from you. But you can see that there's a tint, that their aura, that their persona is different. And they don't want you to know all this stuff, not to stress you out. Good kids.
I just want to say,
this is a bully thing. What kids have to go through because they have to go into this environment on a day-to-day basis.
That's right. I grew up in the projects in Brooklyn, and I also grew up with some real fears, and I know it affected my sleep. And I think you're bringing up an amazing point that our kids are, depending on where we lived and what's going on, we can be inundated with a lot of things that will affect them deeply.
Yeah, and in general, stress affects sleep. Dr. Harvey, can you speak to that?
Absolutely. Stress is really the opposite of sleep. And, we just have to look into the animal bird world. They sleep in safe burrows, nests, and niches that reduce danger. So it's hard because often our teens young adults are going to bed not feeling safe. And I think that there's, sometimes it's the case that clinical interventions required, and there are lots of professionals out there who can help teens work with worries and ruminations and not feeling safe. Another kind of simpler thing perhaps to try is we've become very interested in, instead of hitting the pillow and turning off the light and worrying and ruminating, to suggest to teens and help them to practice maybe reviewing the day and trying to pick out the very small things that happened, but the good things that happened, like someone was kind to them or they were kind to someone else. So savoring the good things that happened today, or savoring and honoring the things about themselves, things that are good about themselves, things that are lovable about themselves, things that are indicative of them coping and growing up. So that kind of savoring and honoring of the self as soon as one hits the pillow and turns out the light, rather than worry and rumination. Now, it's hard to do that, and that's why sometimes working with a professional can really help.
And Sinote, I think just your tone of being able to accept and acknowledge what they're dealing with, and make sure there's enough voice to hear, to have them have a voice to talk about what's going on. And that's when, your loving comfort is what you do have to offer, even when there's you know, bad stuff going on. So I think that's at the core of how you can help.
And I think when parents see stressed kids having difficulties with sleep and eating, the insomnia is a huge issue with kids, to address it directly, to say, look, I'm concerned. I'm seeing you're struggling with sleep. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Creating an atmosphere of communication and openness in your house. I really appreciate your calling this morning and bringing this up. It's really important. Thank you.
And we'll see. We'll ask Zan if we have some passes to send you so that you can take your kids somewhere. I'm not sure what we have, so we'll have her check with you. We're almost out of time. We're going to take a listen to a couple of teachers here who have something to say about what they're seeing.
I'm Associate Producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week we hear from a middle and high school teacher. What are some of the things you've noticed about the dietary habits of your students?
Diets are pretty bad. A lot of junk food, soda. I wouldn't even say regular meals. Most of their food I think they get at school, and the school lunches are not very nutritional.
Most kids don't drink water. We did a whole week-long lesson on drinking water, and most of them were pretty opposed to it, and it was just something that they weren't in the habit of doing. Often they'll drink juice, soda, milk if they're lucky. Water just isn't a part of it. A lot of processed foods. The school lunches are insanely packaged. There aren't a lot of fruits and vegetables.
And can you comment on your students' sleep habits?
Most of my students aren't getting enough sleep. They stay up late, you know, playing video games or hanging out with friends. And I know they have to wake up really early to catch two or three buses to get to school.
They like to brag about staying up late, and they all get up pretty early. So I think a lot of them spend a lot of time up at night on the internet, watching TV, and then they get up early for school. So not a whole lot of sleep.
What are some of the most favorite foods on campus?
A lot of spicy Cheetos or spicy chips and pop, like red pop or orange pop.
Hot chips, hot chips, hot chips. Soda, those like caffeinated jolt-like canned drinks with 3 cups of coffee worth of caffeine in them. A lot of candy.
And do you feel there's a connection between food, sleep, and students' behavior?
I'd say there's a definite effect. You see them in the mornings and they're drained of energy. You can tell when they've eaten something, they have like a spike of energy, and then they crash again, and it contributes to a lot of behavioral problems. And one thing I noticed, because I teach special ed students, is that if they have attention deficit problems, they're compounded by the fact that they eat junk foods.
If they're not rested, it's hard to focus, be engaged. Perhaps even more so if you're not eating well. It's impossible to be focused and engaged in class and doing your best work.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
Julie, there's a lot of info there from teachers on concerns about food. Can you comment and actually give some kind of final tips for parents on what they can do to help with some of these challenges that undernourished or poorly nourished kids or teens are facing in school?
Absolutely. So I was hearing a lot about the concerns of the teachers, and I think the schools are actually starting to turn around a little bit. I mean, I've heard more about schools having gardens on the school property where kids can get involved with growing fruits and vegetables. Also, I think teachers can have policies in their classrooms about what types of foods they recommend kids bring in for parties or shared events. And then finally, tips for parents. I think, again, parents setting good examples, having more time for family meals, providing and having in their house an inventory of food that's healthy based on whole grains, fruits and vegetables, eliminating soda, candy, and more processed foods, I think is the way to go here.
Julie, do you have a website that you think would be good for parents?
Sure. The American Dietetic Association website, which is www.eatright.org, is a great website for parents to start.
Eatright.org.
Eatright.org. Great.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, I was thinking, Dr. Allison Harvey, maybe as we're winding up here, how can people find out more about your sleep research and also some final tips for parents?
So where I should be able to Google us up, UC Berkeley sleep, and you'll get us, and a telephone number for people who are interested, say, in the teen sleep depression study, 510-643-3797. And just kind of two thoughts, two tips. One is try and keep the wake-up time within a two-hour window on weekdays and weekends. This is very important. The circadian system can't cope with what a lot of teenagers do, which is to wake up at 6:30 a.m. on weekdays, but sleep in till 1 p.m. on weekends. That's like flying from California to Hawaii on a week-by-week basis. We can't do that. We can't cope with that. So try to keep that wake-up time. That's going to make it easier to go to sleep at night, too, if you wake up early enough. If you wake up at noon, you can't get to sleep at night.
Yes, and it sounds like also kids really benefit from bedtime routines, even older kids, earlier bedtimes, and shutting off the technology at night and having a calm, peaceful way of transitioning into sleep.
And one last kind of exercise during the daytime. Teens learn that energy is like elastic.
Huge.
You can actually stretch it if you go and do exercise. Exercise is going to help sleep, and it's going to...
School performance, too.
Oh, it's wonderful. Exercise, diet, sleep, it all links together.
And Beth, your website and your work, you know, those kids who are struggling, you're the one who will help them.
Well, I hope so.
For some of them, anyway.
Yes, for some of them. Yes, if you want to find out more about our individual coaching programs for teens, please find us on the web at sosforstudents.com. That's SOS, the number four, SOS like the scrub pad, Student Organizational Services, sosforstudents.com. And thank you for joining us today. It's a very important topic. We're grateful to our guests and our team, producers Felsha Zuschlag, Zan West, and Lorenzo Plazol at the controls.
And I'm grateful to Beth Samuelson for making this teen series a reality and really doing a great job. And thank you to my teachers, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Rona and Beth saying goodbye. Parents, spend time with your kids and take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media.
We are family.
Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.